Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Thank you for listening. If you like this show, please rate and review it on whatever platform you listen to, whether it be Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, or even Podbean, the host site. Let everybody know why you like this show. And it makes me feel good about myself when you rate and review stuff, because it feels like that. It feels like I am not throwing this thing into an abyss where it just gets swallowed up into a sea of nothingness. Like all the gems that not necessarily the gems that I drop. I know there's very few and far between, but there's other people on here. There's other people that come on the show and spend their time with me, and they drop gems. And I say, wow, that's pretty cool. That's cool that you said that. And I'm glad we're having this conversation, that it's been recorded so that I can share that with other people. How about that? So please, there's hundreds of you that listen to this thing. There's hundreds of you that listen. There's probably 50 or 60 people, sweet, kind souls, that took the time to rate and review it. So why don't the rest of you fucking fall into place and get with it? God, I shouldn't have said that. The rest of you, why don't you, you know, rate and review it? Do the same. Be inspired by those 50 or 60 people, those kind-hearted people that... you know, decided to take like maybe a minute or two to put 5 stars in a rating and say, Chris is cool, I like this podcast, and then move on with their very beautiful lives. How about that? How about you do that too? Okay. This is episode 443, and I have a super special return guest that you know and you love. He's a comedian and he's a filmmaker. He's also the host of a new show called Old NBA Cards that I told you about. His name is Jeff Cerulli, and he is my unofficial, official co-host of Indie Movie Corner. And I'll be happy to share that conversation with you in a few minutes. Right now, I'm just going to talk to you for a few moments. I'm sitting here on my couch. I woke up really early for a Sunday. I woke up maybe what time? Oof, maybe like 5 o'clock to watch the latest episode of The Chi, but it's not there. And that really pisses me off, because Showtime, Starz has done this too. I didn't know that Showtime did it. But they put their Sunday shows, they put them out so you can watch it for on streaming. And this week they did not do that. I don't think it's the last episode, because they at least do 10, I want to say. And so they don't have the latest episode up. Episode 8 was last week. So whatever, I was expecting to do that as my Sunday morning ritual, but I was not able to do that. So I watched this movie called Stockton on My Mind, which is about Stockton, California, and Michael Tubbs, who became one of the youngest black mayors to ever be elected in the United States. I want to say, it's good. It's about him and coming up, but it's really about the community. And I was inspired to watch it because I was watching Last Chance U and the latest season, which I'm going to have a special guest on coming soon. That's what in the biz you call that a tease, a special guest that you know and love that's going to come back on the show. And we're gonna talk about that season. And you know, this past season took place in Oakland, in the Bay, and some of the characters, some of the people on that show had to drive 90 minutes to and from school to from Stockton to play football and go to school at the community college and all that stuff. And Michael Tubbs is the mayor of Stockton, and he's doing a lot of cool stuff to change that city and make it better. So I watched that. It's really terrific. I think HBO has been really good with these documentaries. Last week, yesterday I watched yesterday I watched this doc called Yousef Hawkins, Storm Over Brooklyn, which was about the 1989 murder of a young man named Yousef Hawkins, and who's from Brooklyn and was killed in this town in this area in Brooklyn called Bensonhurst by some white guys, and about the activism that went on with Al Sharpton and what it did to the community. And it's really good because I didn't know anything about that. And it was really informative. And I just tweeted this less than 20 minutes ago. The On the Record documentary about On the Record presents Drew Dixon's story in the aftermath of the alleged abuse by her boss and hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons. The documentary follows former A&R executive Dixon, one of the first women of color to come forward in the Me Too movement, as she publicly accuses Simmons of sexual misconduct alongside her peers Sil Lay Abrams and Sherry Scher. They put HBO Max, they put the full documentary, full hour and 37 minute documentary on YouTube, so you can watch it for free, and it's available. It's really good, and it's really disturbing how all the stuff that went on. So I'm not trying to be super woke or anything. I'm just saying it's really good, and you should take the time to watch it. There's no excuse now, because you can actually watch it on YouTube if you have the internet. And I know that the only people that I know that were really talking about it was Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips. And Rod is actually on the Patreon episode this week, and it's really good. It's a really good conversation. We talked some, current events, and we did a little Last of Us Part Two spoiler cast. So if you are interested in that, it's some good stuff over there, like I always say on Patreon. And so it's well worth it. But HBO has been really hitting hard with these documentaries. And Jeff, since we're talking movies, Jeff and I were talking about a movie that I didn't get to see at the time we recorded this movie called I Used to Go Here with Gillian Jacobs. So this movie is about a successful author finds herself deeply enmeshed in the lives of a group of college students after being asked to speak at her alma mater. This is one of my favorite genres of film, where a white woman that has problems in her life, she goes back to her old stomping grounds to kind of wreak havoc a little bit, and everybody has to deal with her shit. It's actually really good. Jeff thought it was solid. You'll hear that in our conversation. But this was, to me, it just hit the spot, because I was in the mood to watch something like this, and I like Gillian Jacobs. She's great. And there's a nice little swerve that you can kind of see coming, but it's like you can't have a certain actor and I'm not going to mention who's in it, but you can't have it's easy to figure out, but you can't have a certain actor in a role with him for the first quarter of the movie, just kind of being around and not have him there for a reason, where it's like some interesting shit that happens. Nothing earth shattering, but it's just a solid ass indie movie that's written and directed by Chris Swanberg, I think she goes by like some. She apparently they divorced or something. But I know she goes. Her IMDb has like another Chris Ray. So I don't know what I believe Chris Ray is what she's going by now. So, but yeah, it's actually I really dug it. I really enjoyed it. It's very pleasant. Just a pleasant, solid movie. And it gets points because it takes place. Part of it takes place in Chicago, and then like in Southern Illinois, in Carbondale. So, really enjoyed that one. Also, what else? I've blabbed too much. I've blabbed too much. What I will say is that I did make a really good omelet yesterday, and it did not break up. It did not. You know, I made an omelet with cheddar cheese, onions, green peppers, and brisket. I bought like a pound of brisket from Stew Leonard's, and I put a little bit of it, chopped it up, put a little bit of it in the omelet. Not a pound, obviously, but just put a little bit of brisket in there. It was so great, and it held me for most of the day. Like I had lunch at like, I mean, I had breakfast at like, God, what, 8 o'clock, and then I like ate dinner like at like 8 Saturday night, whatever. But it was really good, really hearty, and I did it. And I think I shout out to the homie Paul Verzi, because I think he might have mentioned putting brisket in an omelet that made me do that. I think I had done it before, but it just wasn't as good as this time. The only thing that would have been, two things that would have been different, if I would have had red onions would have set it off more than the yellow onions, and Tillamook Mexican, like four cheese Mexican, whatever that blend they have. Really, that would have set it off more, but I think there's an onion recall that's making people sick. And I already had these onions from like a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to get sick off those. So that's nothing you care about. So let's just get to Jeff Cerulli. Jeff and I were just kind of talking. He was like, "Oh, we should do a pod and talk about some movies." So that's kind of what we did. We just always have a great time talking to Jeff, and I think you'll enjoy it. So check out me and Jeff talking movies and stuff.
I'll tell you right off the bat, I got a road trip for us.
A road trip for us? Like when yeah, this shit is all over?
Yeah, to Oregon.
For the Blockbuster?
Yeah, exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The Airbnb and Blockbuster.
Oh, I just know that Blockbuster had the they had a tweet. They tweeted a couple times, like checking in to see what's up or something.
Yeah, that's the last remaining Blockbuster in Oregon, Bend, Oregon, which I think is like a small town in Oregon. They're turning that Blockbuster into an Airbnb. You can rent it for really cheap. I think it's like $4 a night or something, or maybe that was just like a special night, but I don't think it's expensive.
Okay.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and you can hang out in there and watch movies and stuff.
Yeah, they set up like, it's in the store, and they set up like a little like bed and couch.
Oh,
that's really fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to the Pacific Northwest, and I would love to go. I don't know why I'm drawn to it. Maybe it's because I like 10 Things I Hate About You. They did that in Seattle.
I was supposed to go to a wedding in Washington, but that got canceled
because of COVID.
But I would have been there probably, I think, next week.
Oh, shit.
A wedding.
I know The Last of Us Part 2 takes place there.
Bro, fuck, man. I gotta play it. I've been playing so much Modern Warfare that I haven't touched it.
I got to get on you. Well, you were playing Fall Guys.
Well, the two things I'm playing heavy, Modern Warfare. We play with a bunch of friends. I keep telling you to get it because we play. It's really fun. You do team death matches with friends. It's awesome. So I wanted to get good at that because I was really bad at first, and people online are really good. So I'm like, I'm not going to play Last of Us. Anytime I have like moments to play video games, I'm going to get better at Warfare just so I can like hang. Yeah. It worked. I'm way better at it. I'm not like great.
So you
I'm
can have a social life.
Yeah. I was getting killed right away every time. But that game's awesome. So I've been playing that. And then Fall Guys, you have to get it. It's free.
I'll
it's
download
so,
it. Yeah.
It's so fun. You can play with other people. You're in a group. It's like these mini games. Like it reminds me of like how I felt about Fusion Frenzy for the Xbox, which was like these little mini games, and you play with like 60 other people online, and then round by round, it's like 40, then 30, then 15, and there's one winner, and it's frustrating to get. I finally won one the other day, but it's just like it's hard to get it. They're these goofy little games. Sometimes they're team games, so you could be doing well in it, and then your team loses and you get eliminated. So there's a lot of like luck and shit that goes into it, but that's a really fun one and it's free. So you might as well just get it.
Yeah, maybe I will. I will. Once I saw that it was free, I was like, I'll check it out. Cause it's free this month, right?
Yeah. Probably for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
But it's legitimately really fun. Like at first you might, I didn't like it at first because I'm like, what is this shit? This is annoying. And then after a few games, I was like, oh, no, this is fun. This is awesome. It's like chaos. It's really good.
I guess if it's a lot of... I've just lived such a life of fucking sad solitude that...
Yeah, you're a solo gamer.
Yeah.
We played NBA 2K, what, once?
You beat me and I got upset.
Do we play it even twice or just
we
once?
Only played once. I got mad. I didn't get mad at you. I just got mad that I lost. I thought I had more time left. It was a good game too. We went into overtime.
It was overtime. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun game. Yeah, I don't know, man. I've just been conditioned to just playing by myself. And so I just took to most of these single player campaign games. You know, I think it started with the first Tomb Raider. And obviously you have Zelda. See, when I was a kid, I guess when I got the Nintendo, I was about 8 or 9 years old. I might have been 9 years old. And I think I always say this, I used to summer down in North Carolina, which was an arrogant way to say, an asshole way of saying that my parents dropped me off at my grandmother's house. In North Carolina for the summer to get rid of me. And so my cousins and I would be down there and my uncle and I had the Nintendo and we had Zelda. You know, we had other games too, but it was mainly just these single player campaigns and we would take turns. But they're twins, but one of them was just really good at video games. So we would kind of just watch him play shit, you know.
And then, that old gag. Someone had a funny joke like that about that, an older brother. So he's like, I watched a lot of Mario. Like,
yeah.
I just watched a lot. I forget who it was.
That's
I think
funny.
It was Jonah Zalay. He's a funny comic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very funny dude.
That was one of his jokes. I always remember that it was like, just you watch your brother play a lot. They let you play.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're 2K once. I mean, that's like unacceptable. People play two. My main games are. Yeah, my main game, I'll say, was 2K. I've always had every 2K, and I've had years where I only played that. Literally no other games, wasn't gaming too much, just playing NBA 2K.
Yeah.
And then now I've kind of expanded to play a bunch of other stuff in like the quarantine where it was like, you know, you're watching stuff, but you're like, all right, let's play some games here. So I feel like I'm gaming more than I have maybe in my life.
Yeah, I think it always I had Janelle James on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she's like one of those low key gamers. Wouldn't even think like she has all the games pretty much. And I was trying to get her to say like, you know, because a lot of times people are like, oh, no, I can't have a system in my house because I will just, you know, not do anything. And I said, man, I've never missed a spot for. Playing a game.
I don't like that. I think that's a bullshit thing.
Yeah.
I don't like that that mentality because I'm like, is that true? I feel like it's like you can't stop yourself that you'll just play the game nonstop. Yeah. I don't know, man. It feels like an excuse that they're just like kind of belittling it. Like, oh no, I like it, but I just, I don't know. That's what I always
felt like about. Joe Rogan saying, like, shitting on video games a couple weeks ago.
Say that about, like, Joe Rogan's thing, like, got taken out of context, where it's just like, yeah, that's true. If you just do that, it's going to be your own detriment, unless you're like esports. Like, that's the thing about everything. Like, anything in life, if you put too much time into it and you're not really getting something substantial out of it, like, sure, I can see how it's like a waste. Like, obviously, like, how many people are doing esports of that, like, video game? It's probably like professional athletes, right? Like 1% of all the people that play sports are professional. It's a very low percentage. So,
right,
you know, most people are just playing for fun. So obviously, if you're not like working on your own shit, I mean, I have definitely felt that in my life.
Where, well, you're a person that does that, though. You work on your own shit.
Guilty. Yeah, I'll feel guilty if I don't feel as much with movies, because movies, I feel like I can take something out of it. Like, I can watch a movie and it can motivate me. I can see a style that I like that I want to replicate. Like, I can, I never feel, even if it's a movie I don't like, I very rarely feel like I wasted my time watching a movie. Whereas video games, I've definitely had that feeling where, unless it's like 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, where I'm just going to be sleeping anyway, I'm not going to be like doing anything productive anyway, where I feel okay playing. But that I understand, that mentality, not the mentality of like, I will only do this and nothing else. But I understand, I understand the guilt. I understand how you can feel guilty that you're like, man, I should be writing, I should be doing this, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
That's, I guess in a way I was a little harsh at first, but I do understand it.
Yeah. That's true. That makes sense. I mean, I'd say we're, you know, I guess maybe, like, my listeners know, like, maybe 2013 is when I got back into games, but it was really just, but before then and even now, it's just like Madden and 2K. It's really, that's really what it's been for the longest time. Like, even when I was in grad school, it was just like, oh, I'll get the NBA Live, or I'll get, you know, like, NBA Live kind of petered off.
You were nuts with that, dude. I kept telling you, you'd be like, well, I'm thinking about getting Live this year. I'm like, don't, no.
I would just do that just to get
2K.
I would do that shit just to get people like riled up. I started getting 2K. I don't know. I think I had a PS3 and I was getting them, but Live, after like 03 or something like that, it just wasn't good anymore.
Dude, even before that, Live to me is like high school, like NBA Live 98.
Yeah.
Like before 2K existed, it was acceptable to play NBA Live. And then once 2K came around, there was never a reason. 2K was always a better game. I remember there were some other ones too, like NBA Inside Drive was a game that was another alternative that wasn't very good either. Like there was a few others. But 2K was always the standard, and now there's no question. I don't even think they make NBA Live anymore.
No, they had to postpone it. They had to like shelve it or something, scrap it at one point.
Unbelievable! EA Sports cannot put out a good basketball game.
Yeah, it just didn't work. For the longest time, it was just that, and then there'd be like, I remember shit like 15 years ago or something like that when Batman Begins came out. And they did a movie version of the video game, and I liked that. It was fun. I don't know, I think with like the advent of like that Tomb Raider reboot, I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, this is some really good shit. But it's really been like these lightning in a bottle experiences that I've had with, you know, like The Last of Us, and I was really into Horizon Zero Dawn. That was the first open world game that I played, you know, and it just kind of blossomed from there. But really, the Last of Us Part Two was just like, I never had that anticipation for a game ever. I don't think it's been that deep. And I guess with social media kind of enhanced that too, you know, like YouTube and watching all that shit. So, I mean, I just platinum that this week. A couple days ago, Sunday, I believe. Yeah, Sunday I did. So, did I lose you, Joe? Yeah. Oh no,
okay. No. You just
zoned out after.
Probably till probably in like a few months or two. I don't know. I'll dive in because I am excited to play it. I got it. I played for like an hour. And then just Modern Warfare took over my life.
Yeah, well, when you can be social, when you're not like a recluse like me, I mean, you can you want to socialize with people. It's probably good. Yeah, that game is you have to be in it. Like I talked to my good friend was Scott Stanglin, who's an actor, went to grad school with him, and he had just finished it. Like that was like the second time that I like somebody that finished it, and I talked to them for almost an hour. McGinnis was the first person, and we just talked about it. He called me after he beat it. But it's definitely an experience, and I always say it's not for everybody. Yeah, so now I'm trying to figure out what the next thing is, and everybody's on Ghost of Tsushima, and
oh yeah,
it's fun. I played it for about 3 or 4 hours, and it is good. I just have to really just get used to it. But I think even when I getting back into that, I might get this game Cuphead. I'm thinking about that one.
Yeah, Cuphead, right? It finally is now out for PS4.
Yeah, because I had it on... Shit, I'm saying the same shit I said a couple days ago. But I had it on Steam, but it's just not the same as playing it on
a
big screen.
Very frustrating game, right? I played it once at Brian's house. It's very hard.
Yeah, I call it Contra on acid.
Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful game.
It's beautiful, yeah. So that, I got to play God of War. But so are you getting a PS5?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Are you opening like at launch? I don't know.
I don't know about launch. I had during the quarantine early on, like my friends were trying to convince me to get a Switch.
Okay.
And I was like, no, if I'm going to get another system, it's going to be a PS5 when that comes out. I'm just not open to like getting a Switch. Like, I love Mario Kart. I love Mario, obviously, but it's like, I just don't want another thing.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna get it, I'll get the PS5 and replace the PS4. So I'm kind of all in on that. I had also a RetroPie. I don't think it's working anymore, but that was so much fun. Where it's like an emulator that has all the old games. So if I want to play any of those old Mario games for Super Nintendo and Nintendo, I had it. I actually, again, don't think it's working at the moment, but I kind of like that alternative too to like the Nintendo games. That it's like I'm fine playing those. Than seeing kind of what Nintendo's doing now. Like, Animal Crossing doesn't necessarily appeal to me.
No,
I don't think I would like that. It looks like a kind of a waste of time.
I guess
it's not competitive. What are we doing here?
I think
just like going to someone's island. What is this?
I think it's another social thing. It's just for people that aren't really into the competitiveness of a Modern Warfare. I think it's a little more accessible to people, and that's one of the top selling games in the industry right now, especially during quarantine and everything like that. So I think that's one of the reasons. But that system, I did watch, you know, Matt Jenkins, comic, funny dude, real funny dude.
Yeah, he did my show.
Yeah, he was on he did the pod like last fall.
I think I met him through you.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but I forget who introduced me at my show. Actually, maybe not you, but someone introduced me at my show, and then we were talking film, and I gave him a spot. Funny guy, really nice guy. I like that guy.
Yeah, really funny and clean. Has one of the best.
Impressive.
One of my favorite jokes. I'm not going to say it because I'll butcher it, but I think I made him do it when he was on the show. But he had the Nintendo Switch. And he was showing me that Zelda, and that fucking game is beautiful. Like, that game is like everybody was like, when I was all like, oh, Horizon Zero Dawn, everybody else was on Zelda, and Zelda is just, it's fucking beautiful, man. Like, that's another game that's one of the most popular games ever. Like, within the last 5 years, I would say. Like, that game is up there, and I think that was... might have been up for game of the year if it didn't win. It might have. I think both those games came out. Horizon came out 2017.
Game of the year. Who decides game of the year?
I forget who. Let's see. Let me just see what game of the year.
Yeah. What does that even mean? So I'm so much of a gamer. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Just the best game of the year.
Who decides it? IGN.
Let's see. Well, it was the Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild Game of the Year. at the Zelda wins Game of the Year at the 2017 Game Awards. I don't know who does this. Some shit that comes on. Damn. I don't know. The 2017 Game Awards. Just the Game Awards.
I think it's just the publication. I don't think you're going to have a set like, yeah, we have all decided this is Game of the Year. I think it's publications. So it's, yeah, like IGN or GameSpot or, you know, whatever.
It's a show. It is a show. The Game Awards. The Game Awards annual. Hosted by Canadian games journalist Jeff Knightley, who worked in Spike Video Game Awards. Microsoft Theater was where they did it. Shit, I don't know.
Well,
somebody's, whatever. Some nerd's probably like losing their mind. God damn it, Chris! I was trying to see where they... Well, Jeff Knightley apparently is the host. So this one guy hosts and produces it. I don't know who votes for it. They've got their own website, the Game Award. So the game, you know, so all of these folks agreed that that was the game. Whoever was involved said that that was the best game of 2017. And I know, like, there was a lot of hype around it. Yeah, so it was Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Super Mario Odyssey, and The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So that was 2017. So, yep. Won Best Game Direction. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that's a game that I would be interested in playing. But it does look great. And before, I was at this event, and this kid, it was at an author's retreat type thing, writer's retreat salon that I was invited to. And one of the authors, her son, had a Nintendo Switch, and I was just kind of looking at him play. And I was like, God, I don't want to be like looking over this kid's shoulder like a creep watching him play this fucking video game. But it looks incredible, man. It's not something, you know, and I was kind of thinking like, oh, should I get a Switch for when I'm on the road? And I was like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
Yeah.
I just, look, I don't want to get it because I feel like if I get a Switch, then I'll only play that and I won't do anything else. And I just can't have it. I just feel like I won't play it enough. And it's just like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love the controller when you play it on the big screen. It's like the little tiny kind of, that doesn't appeal to me either. Like I've used the Switch like once or twice on a regular TV screen, and it's that little tiny kind of like in your kind of like palm of your hand with your thumb. It's not for me. Not for me. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like the idea of it, but I just, like you said, like, great. I don't think I would play it that much.
Yeah.
Because there's games that I have that I haven't played. And it's like, because of being a grown up, because of the day job, because of, you know, showbiz shit, like stand up all the time, you know, before everything hit and all that stuff. So it was just kind of like, I have been enjoying, like you said, like I've played more than I have in quite some time, you know, like, and a lot of people seem to be doing that. Yeah. What do you think about, let's talk about, can we talk about old NBA cards? Yeah. Cause I mentioned it on the episode
that
I posted this week. Yeah. Talk about that show.
Well, I'm hosting a show called Old NBA Cards where I invite a guest on. You get it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I invite a guest on and we open up a pack of, I have some old like skyboxes from the early 90s. I have a Fleer box from the early 2000s. And we just, I just love the randomness of it. I don't know who's going to come up. I don't open the packs before. So we'll open the packs and then, just go through it. And it just like, I like the kind of the offbeat facts of the player, the off the court stuff that come up. Mm-hmm. And like, what did this player, they mean anything to you? Like you had a good, we got a Wes Unseld card and you had a good Wes Unseld story with your dad. Giving him like a, trying to talk shit to him and him giving him a dirty look. And Wes Unseld was like such a tough guy.
Yeah.
And your dad's like, nope. And then it got into the whole thing of like, how my dad, you're always like, you know, my dad could kick your dad's ass. My dad could kick your dad's ass. And it's like, my dad, well, not Wes Unseld. Wes Unseld could kick my dad's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just like the thing. And then the guest shows me whatever they have, like some sports thing. You showed an old Redskins jersey. And so I'm doing that. I'm actually thinking about just releasing the audio as pods.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't done that. They're just YouTube videos. I put in some like NBA clips and relevant stuff. So I was thinking about just like, because they are long, I was thinking about just taking the WAV files of all the audio and just jumping them in podcasts. I'll see if I do that. But yeah, I release it like kind of like every kind of other week I do one. And yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's really good. I like the show. And I was saying on the, you know, earlier this week that I was jealous that you hadn't asked me. And so I made a play and got booked on the show. But it is really cool. Yeah,
you were coming. I was going to have you on.
Oh, I know. I was just giving you shit. I liked, because I, dude, like that was such a big part of my life growing up, those cards. You know, speaking of summering in North Carolina, every time that I would go down there, my thing was, especially when I would visit my mother's mom, we and her dad, like we would go to Eden, North Carolina, which is a small town. When I was there for my uncle's funeral last December, everything just looked so small because it is a small town. Like they had this one strip where they have like your Walmart and the fast food restaurants. And like, I think there's a brewery not too far from there. And it's just like, you know, like that's it. It's like the main strip and that's it. And it was just like, we would go to that flea market and I would just spend all my time like looking at the cards, getting packs. It was the shit, man. Beckett.
Yeah, there's something about that it's like, just, it's fun opening up a pack of cards.
Yeah.
It's something very fun and like, kind of nostalgic of it, these like early cards from the 90s, just kind of going through it and you're like, oh my god, I remember this guy. And then, you know, I like the randomness. I don't really want to talk about Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. I want to talk about like Stuart Gray and just random players that, even if I don't even remember, just making shit up about them.
Yeah, like, because it was, you know, and like going to a convenience store, like the, you know, and then getting some cards. And it was just like, and we had video games back then. Like, I remember having video games, but it was like, it was something about that fucking cardboard, that paper, you know, like glossy, like, you know, I told you, like, I was an Upper Deck guy. Like, Upper Deck to me was the best because you get two good pictures. And it was about sometimes it was about the pose that the photograph, like the pose that Penny Hardaway was in or Jordan was in or, you know, Kurt Rambis when he would, you know, the way he would shoot and they would capture that. It was in like the limited, McDonald's did this limited edition run of basketball cards, of NBA cards. And I had some of those pro set for the NFL. Oh, I could go on and on.
The best. Yeah, football cards is something I would do too, because I loved, I didn't have as many football cards, but I loved NFL, and I had some. I mean, I had a million baseball cards. I have no interest in doing baseball cards, but
yeah.
Football cards, it's something fun about that too, of like the randomness of the players you can get. Obviously, you can get in baseball too. It just doesn't interest me as much.
That's when I cared about sports a lot more. Obviously, we were kids, but I would. And I think I lost that like around undergrad. Like I still used to get that. I always say this, my listeners probably get tired of it, that there was this publication, Athlon Sports, and they would do all the top 112, 114-ish Division 1A schools, and they'd rank them, and they'd have at least the starting offense and defense. And you could, and when you would play like the NCAA game series, you could, you know, write the players' names in. And I used to do that for the team that I was playing with, and I would keep the stats. So that's like, it started from getting getting those cards. And that's how I learned all those players from like, I would say from like maybe 1989, late 80s up until the early 2000s of really knowing guys. Oh, that guy went to NC State. That guy went to Cal Berkeley.
Yeah, you were upset one of the cards didn't have, not one of the cards, all the cards, right, for one guy didn't say where he went to college.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, you hate Skybox.
Yeah, Skybox was true, and they were the most expensive, and it was just like, why, you're not giving me any info.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's
fancy.
I hated that graphic shit. Show the guy on the court.
I think one season. I think they did one season with that because you really can't do that all the time. But it was, yeah, you were like, where did college guy go to? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You couldn't believe it wasn't on the back of the card.
I thought that was standard issue because, you know, I was used to.
Sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. You're like, who gives a shit, Chris? I do. Yeah, so that took me back. Like, I love doing that, that show. Trying to think what else before we get into movies. Well, let's just get into it. Before we started, you had me inspired to log back into this Letterboxd, and I guess can you make list of what you saw in 2020?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay,
that's how I know. Like, it's just easy to just keep track of what you've seen. I just do. If you just go to, like, on the right column, you can log in.
Mm-hmm.
What you could just make your own list. So, like, first of all, the site is aesthetically like very, like, it looks great.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest appeal to it. But yeah, you just make your own list, and then I'll put like films 2020, films 2019, 2018. And it's just easy for me to look and see, okay, what did I see this year?
Ah. Okay.
There's no set. You have to make it yourself. If that's what you're looking for, there's not going to be a set like your 2020 films. You have to actually title that and do that yourself.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do that now because I just started going off the top of my head what I saw. Yeah. I need to get back into that because sometimes I forget what I saw. And I'm just like, oh, I need to do that. Cause I would be able to keep up with, AMC with my, A-list that, I mean, we might be saying RIP to them in a few months.
Yeah. What's happening?
I don't know. They keep sending me on demand shit. Like, I'm going to rent a movie from them on demand. I don't know what they're doing, dude. I don't know. It's weird.
The theater's going to open again?
Well, they're saying I think they were saying something was going to come out in like August or something. Some movie that I don't even know. I don't even understand what it's supposed to be about. Like what it's I don't even know remember what the movie is. Oh, you know what it is? It's New Mutants. New Mutants is supposed to come out sometime this month. Because I did see a new trailer. I'm looking it up right now to see if there's a release date. It currently, well, shit. It's April 3rd, 2020. August 20. So New Mutants poster confirms August 28th theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so weird that this movie keeps getting pushed back. Why don't they just put it out on VOD and people, I believe people would check it out.
Yeah. What is the mentality there over just releasing it to keep delaying it?
I don't know. It's worse than Tenet because they did. So it seems like, I believe that they did so many different, they did some reshoots on this one and it's been through hell basically. I don't know why they don't just put it on VOD. I guess because it's like a Marvel property that they.
Well, want. I know with Quiet Place, they want the theater experience for that.
Yeah.
Like a movie like that.
They just said off the rip. So, they were like, "We're when this shit is over, we'll put it out." Like for a Quiet Place and I believe for Top Gun and what's the girl Scarlett ScarJo, what's her movie? Black Widow.
Oh, Black Widow.
Yeah, They just said they're gonna you know, postpone it just indefinitely.
Yeah, dude. Same thing with obviously Tenet that keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah, they said it's gonna be overseas, and I don't know, man. That I just think people need to just change. They need to just get with the times. We don't know. We don't know when this stuff. This is gonna be over.
We don't know. I mean, like, this is like not going away anytime soon. The idea of like sitting inside for an extended period of time with people. So, yeah, it's like there needs to be some sort of plan here.
Yeah.
For this, and I think they're just like hoping it can be over sooner than later, and then we can just kind of go back to normal.
Yeah, because Tenet, like, some of my friends were saying, like, once Tenet is out, like, if they put it out digitally, it's going to be free because it's going to be on people's, like, Fire Sticks and shit. I would pay for it. I would pay.
You're saying it'll just get pirated.
Yeah, it would just get pirated. You know, like, yeah. I would pay for the shit. I would pay $30 for it. Like, people are bitching about Mulan, and if you pay $30 for Mulan, you keep it as long as you keep your Disney Plus subscription. That's what I heard, you know? So it's like, you guys are going to fucking, if it comes out, when it comes out, you're going to fucking download it or buy it or whatever.
People and dying from Mulan?
It seemed
the live action Mulan?
The live action Mulan, yeah.
Okay. Dude, the live action Lion King was not really live action.
I heard it wasn't good.
It's terrible.
I have terrible. No desire to see that. It's cool that Beyonce and Donald Glover are in it. That's fine, but I'm just like, all right.
It just kind of means something to you with your childhood. Like, you loved it as a child.
I mean, I was 14 when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
I don't know. I liked Aladdin as a kid. I didn't really care about a live action Aladdin.
Neither
did
I. They
did that, right?
Yeah, they did. I didn't care about any of that shit. I think I was just a little too old for that stuff. I mean, not like I was, oh, I'm too cool for this. I did buy.
My sense of wonder and fantasy are done. I mean,
everybody was talking about it so much that I did remember. I'm sure I have a copy of the VHS at my parents' house that I did see it, and I did like the movie. I thought it was very good, but I mean, I was just like, oh, this is good. You know what I mean? I wasn't too cool for school, but it was just like, God, when I was 14 years old, what movies did I really care about? I mean, I was watching Silence of the Lambs. That was scary to me because I saw it when I was like 10 or 11. I'm trying to think about that stuff. Movies in 1994.
Dude, it's kind of just one of those things. Like, I think it's just a nostalgia. It's just like, yeah. Obviously, with your little kid now and the nostalgia of like you love this thing,
right?
I don't know what I would be like really into from our childhood if they redid it.
I liked Goonies. Goonies, Stand By Me.
They redid Goonies, right? But then they did like Stranger Things, which is basically that. It's new. But it's like the nostalgia value. Did you ever see a film, Summer of 84?
No. What was that about?
It was about
1984.
It's kind of good. It takes place in Summer of 84. And it's kids who think their neighbor is a murderer. And it was Rich Little. Rich Summer is in like everything. And it's pretty good. But it's got that nostalgia, like kind of Stranger Things, but not supernatural feel to it.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it now. No, I've never heard. Oh, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, don't go run. You don't have to run and see it, but.
Okay. Oh, it's a horror.
Yeah, it's horror.
Okay. I will. Oh, it's not free. Rent $2.99, buy $9.99. Watch with Shudder. I
mean, there's other stuff you should watch before that, but it was good.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm into that. Yeah, I really did love. I love Stand By Me. I love Goonies. I'd watch that all the time. I like that movie Daryl. Yeah, like I, you know.
Oh my God, Daryl.
Yeah. Used to watch that shit all the time.
I remember Daryl.
He was good at pole position. That movie came up before.
They just re-released Rad.
Rad?
The BMX movie with Laura Loughlin. You don't remember the Rad?
I don't think so. No. Rad.
They did a digital 4K
release. 1986.
Which is interesting. You're doing 4K of a movie from 86. But, you know, the thing about then is things were shot on film. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the whole concept of why things like don't look like shit from then, that behavior release on like HD. It's because they had the pixels in a way because it was on film. So if anything, it's just like it looks better now than it did back then.
I remember
the Billies we have now.
I remember Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah, man, that was a good one too, Gleaming the Cube. Yeah. That's Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Rad is like not, it's not a like great movie. It's more just like, you know, it was just fun. It was like a thing from when you were a kid. It's like that movie Overboard. Like, that's actually like a good movie, but it was like, you know, it was on HBO all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
I'd really have fun to see like a list and think about that stuff, because 14 years old, God, what was that? I was just like freshman in high school. I was in the drama club because I got cut from the basketball team tryouts. The first day, I didn't even look at the list. I knew I didn't make it. And I got cut from the baseball team. I went pretty far in that. But I had one of the leads in the spring musical, so I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you were more supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, so you know, self-aware at 14, to some degree. But yeah, man, I think that like when it comes to the nostalgia, like when it comes to like this buying these movies. For Mulan, I'm not interested in Mulan. I don't have Disney Plus, but if I was and I really wanted to see it, I would pay $30 for it. You don't have to go out. You know, you're watching it from the comfort of your own home. You know, you have friends over, your family. I mean, not now, but
I saw people bitching about that. Now that I think about it, they're bitching about the $30.
They were like, bitching about 20, it. Yeah.
Not 30. But you know what? If it was 20, you'd be like, I would pay 15. Not 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, $19.99 seems like a good price, though, for like the new releases that are like, you know, going to be in the theater. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's fair.
Like, there's quite a few that I paid 20 for. I mean, I bought Bad Boys because my parents hadn't seen it. And we just, you know, we share the Amazon account. So I think now they just had a feature where you can do like Netflix, like you and somebody else can have a, you know, a list. You have your own like separate account on that subscription, I believe. I think Amazon just introduced that. But if I paid $20 to see King of Staten Island to rent that.
On
Amazon. And then my dad watched it. I think my mom actually watched it, too. And she doesn't really watch movies. You know, she doesn't really care, but there more than one person got to see those $20 rentals that I did. You know, and if I had a girlfriend or something, we would both watch it. If I was dating somebody, I'd be paying $50, whatever, for, you know, we'd get popcorn, we'd all that shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like you just save in other ways. You could get a pizza, you could get a, I don't know. People just like to bitch about stuff, and that's social media.
That's the thing too. Yeah.
You know, like, do you want to see the shit or not? And if you don't, then so be it. You know. But like I said, dude, I would pay $30 or $40 for Tenet. I mean, it's Christopher Nolan. You want to see it, and yeah, of course you want that. I would love that experience in IMAX. You know, the nerd in me would have probably, because this theater, that this AMC across the highway from me in Hackensack, dude, they just put in, so it's already a new theater. It's been around for like 2 years. And then recently, I think late last year or early this year, they put in a Dolby theater. And to me, like, bang for your buck, that's my favorite type of place to see a movie in, because in a Dolby theater, because IMAX, all that shit is fake unless you're in Lincoln Center, or I don't know where else, but all the shit, like, in our, all the other ones are basically LIMAX, you know, they're not the official IMAX screens, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Dolby is like, you got great sound, great picture, everything like that. Like, I would have seen Tenet and Dolby. I probably would have went somewhere to see it in IMAX, you know, like that, that would have been, that would be over, $30 probably, you know?
Oh my God. Yes.
So it's, you just think about that. Like, that's an event movie. Ideally I would love to see there, that movie's meant to be seen in the theater, but some of this other stuff, man, shit, you can watch it on your phone. I don't like doing that. I don't like watching movies on my laptop.
I thought there would be more stuff out right now.
I did too.
I want to say, because I was like, it's the summer and nothing's in the theaters now because there's no theater. So I thought there'd be a little more kind of stuff to watch, and I've been a little underwhelmed, a little disappointed with everything.
Well, let's talk about that, because I feel the same way. I mean, I really liked King of Staten Island. I think that you could, you might be able to argue that that's one of Apatow's best films. I thought Trainwreck was good because it was getting into like a lot of like, there's like darkness, like somebody died in that movie. You know what I mean? And not to say, you know, it's a comedy, but somebody dies in the movie. That movie's more
in,
like a
in Trainwreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her dad
passes away and stuff like that.
Yeah. I thought Trainwreck was fine.
Yeah.
My hot take was that what was the other one she did? Oh, she did I Feel Pretty. I was like, if you reversed it, like if Trainwreck came out when she had, if I Feel Pretty came out when she had her momentum.
Yeah.
Because she already had, there was the backlash to her by that point. So I was like, if you just reverse those, if you did I Feel Pretty first, I feel like it would have done as well as Trainwreck. In a way, it wasn't as good, but it was fine, right? But it was like people were already on the backlash to her, and they didn't like her at that point. A lot of people. So I don't know. I feel like they were like at the same level. Trainwreck is probably better.
Oh, I love Trainwreck. Trainwreck was way better.
Yeah, but you get what I'm getting at, right?
I know what you're saying. I understand.
If you reverse them, it's like, because people like hated I Feel Pretty, and I'm like, it was fine.
I didn't hate it. It's because I watched it twice. When I first saw it, I was and I think we'll delve into this a little later with one of the movies that we got scheduled to talk about. I watched two movies that night, and I Feel Pretty was the later film. And I was like, why the fuck am I doing this? Why am I watching? It had nothing to do with the movie, but it just, like, I was in and out. Like, I fell asleep. And then when I watched it, like, at home, I was like, okay. I was like, this is fine. This is a solid movie. It's just a rom-com.
It's not the hate for it was like,
it's too much.
What are we doing here? Yeah.
They're just jealous or mad. I don't know. I watched that documentary that she did about her kid, like having a kid. But
was that good?
It's good. Yeah, it is good. Oh my God, Expecting Amy. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Like I like. So anyway, I mean, I'm rambling a little.
I saw a thing about it that was like, this is the most important thing to watch right now, and I was like, what? And but it was good.
I liked it. Birth, right? I liked it. Yeah, I don't know.
There's nothing that'll ever get me to watch that.
I don't know about the most important thing, but I thought it was.
I swear, I saw something that was like the most important thing you watched during quarantine.
I like stuff about comedy and like the behind the scenes shit, like with her trying to do these shows, and it talks about her husband and the stuff that they got going on with that, and it's really, I thought it was really good. You know, and I met her a couple of times. She's been nice to me. She put me on at the Stress Factory.
I mean, look, man, I like, she's done right by a lot of people that she's friends with in terms of like giving them lines in her movies or shows or like looking after. Like, I have no problem with Amy Schumer. Hey, yeah. I have this Schumer theory that if you reverse the two movies, so I just don't care about the pregnancy thing. I don't know.
Oh, it's sure. Just, no, but it's about a little more than that, you know. But it's fine. You don't have to watch it. I'm not, you know. But I would just say, like, as far as like Apatow stuff, you know, we were talking about King of Staten. That might,
King of Staten Island was good. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, that might be one of the better movies that I've seen this year. I don't know that you liked The Way Back as much as I did. We talked about it, but
wait, The Way Back, the water park movie?
No.
Oh, the basketball. Oh, that's basketball. The way back. Oh, yeah. The basketball. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ben Affleck basketball movie was surprisingly good.
Yeah, that was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, me too. I went in hearing that, so my expectations were.
I probably told you that.
Feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like people were like, no, it's actually going to be good. And I really did like that movie. Yeah, I was kind of charmed by it.
I probably overhyped it.
No, it's good.
Okay.
The King of Staten Island was like, you just kind of want something fun to watch. I don't think it had the depth, like what they were trying to do with his character. Like, I don't think it had the depth that they think it did.
Oh, King of Staten Island?
Yeah, about what it's about with, like, he's this kind of troubled kid.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, kind of surface level there.
Well, I think they – I know what you're saying because I feel like they wanted to make – he had some mental stuff going on. And
yeah,
it's just
like
hinted at.
Tap into that.
It's hinted at.
Tap into, like, this is a story of someone who's, like, you know, he's dealing with his dad's death and he never, like – was like okay with it and he's got mental problems and it's like it's not like it's very surface level, like he's fine, it's very surface level, but the movie overall is good, like
yeah.
It's funny and like Burr's good and the firefighters are good and like it's a fun time, like it's a fun watch and it's probably one of the better things that I've seen during this quarantine.
Yeah,
I don't think it was. It had the depth that they were like, "Oh, this is the Pete Davidson. He's really bare and all here." And it was like, I don't know. I just didn't get that. But in terms of like a fun movie, like yeah, it's great.
That's probably just critic shit. But like,
yeah,
I thought that you know it was, and then maybe it was just done that way to make things a little more palatable to a general audience, you know? I mean, his movies are you know, that's a mainstream movie that's Universal Pictures, you know, and Pete's a star. And, you know, so that's just like, that's what it is. But I think there's just like that undertow of like real darkness that they hint at and it's pretty good. I want to see it again. I'm gonna get it on Blu-ray. My only thing is I just wish that they'd have kept Verzi's part in there. Verzi actually played his dad. Yeah, Verzi played his dad and it was like they did like he did one scene and it was just like a clip. It was a clip of his dad after you know, a fire and his dad's like talking about, you know, like they helped everybody
and they felt like it didn't work.
Yeah. I don't know what, there was something
obviously,
that
yeah.
it might be. And Apatow has so many, special features in his shit. So hopefully it'll be in there. So, yeah, but that was probably one of the best I've seen. I want to say this year, so now, I've got to
better than Trainwreck.
Better than which one?
Trainwreck.
Oh, but yeah, it's better than Trainwreck. I just think with Trainwreck,
it's fine. I think Trainwreck is fine.
I liked it.
Like it's fine. Yeah.
I just think she's like, it's her playing. It's her playing like the Seth Rogen-y person that needs. She's doing the female version of that.
Yeah, and Pete Davidson is like. These characters are like the rougher version of the Knocked Up crew.
Yeah, right? Man-Child.
Like the Knocked Up crew is like they're more like they're like big stoners and they like live in a house and this is like they're hanging out in like the streets.
Yeah,
and they're like rough around the edges and they're like committing crimes.
Yeah, these kids like,
but it's like fun crimes.
It's like really like he's dealing with the death of his dad that died in a like a horrific way. It's not 9/11 in the film, but
no, with I thought this it shit, was going to be, but they made it just a fire. He died in a fire.
Yeah.
I guess they probably didn't want to bring 9/11 in.
Yeah,
and it's like, I guess if the press is like, if you're watching it and like someone you know died in 9/11, I guess the fire thing is just a little vague. Like, you know, who knows someone that died in a fire? Everyone in New York was like affected by 9/11. I would imagine that was the choice there, where they tried to keep it a little lighter.
These other,
we're going to do a serious thing.
Yeah.
But it won't be like a horrific, like national, like thing.
Well, these other, and these other characters, these man children, it's like, just get your shit together. Even though you,
Ricky Velez, who you know.
Yeah. I know Ricky.
Ricky, funny comic. And and Vecchione was great in it.
Yeah, I worked with Vecchione.
A lot of comics in it. Vecchione's, I mean, great.
Yeah.
Great comic. Really, really nice dude.
I worked with Vecchione one of my last gigs at the Borgata for a week.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I saw him a few weeks ago. He was by me. And we were talking about it. I actually told him to listen to Apatow and Koppelman's podcast because they talk about why that scene got left in, the bedbug scene. He didn't even know. I go, no, listen to it. They talk about you and why they left that scene in.
Because he killed.
It was just like kind of a funny, like, Vecchione's got a funny bedbug story.
Yeah.
And then they put that in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I really dig his shit, man. He's one of my favorites. Like,
yeah, he's a great joke writer.
You know, yeah.
He's just like a joke machine.
Yeah. I guess let's...
But yeah, that was one of the better things I saw. I mean, I've seen like a... I mean, I wrote down some things. Like, one thing I saw late that I finally saw, just things I saw during the quarantine that now came out during the quarantine, was Waves.
Yes.
I think it was the best thing I've seen this break. I'm calling it a break. it was on your best of the year list. I never saw it.
Yeah.
That was in my queue for a while, and I finally just watched it, and I was really impressed by it.
I was really
impressed by this movie.
That might have been one of my two. Yeah, I have to look at my notes.
Parasite, but it was if I saw it last year, it would have been in my top five. Just the pacing of that movie was really like what he pulled off of, like, it's basically two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first is so, the camera work is so jarring, and it's like so underbelly of what's going on with this kid who just like is just trying to get his shit together but just can't. And then the calmness of the second act with the girl, of everything is still fucked up. You're dealing with what happened, but she's just a calming presence.
She was great
compared to the kid. Yeah, everyone's really good in it, and it's just a special movie. So that's something that, like, I highly recommend. It came out last year.
Yeah, that was my number three on my favorites of 20. So I had
it was really good.
I had the
Jail's
last.
Wrong.
Jail doesn't like black people in movies. The Last Black Man in San Francisco 1, Parasite 2, Waves 3.
Oh, you had Last Black Man in San Francisco 1. Wow.
Yeah, I rewatched it and I was like, this is fucking beautiful.
It's charming.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's very charming and it really heartfelt. Just kind of reminded me of, like I said, you know, back earlier this year, like Beacon Rewind, which I need to rewatch.
It had that charming aspect of it, like that movie.
Yeah, like the community at the end and stuff like that. It's fast.
And I see that Monty is getting more work. He's in the new in the Lovecraft show that's coming out. Lovecraft Country.
I wonder if I should bank those or just watch them every week.
That's the tough call, right? That's a tough call.
Maybe to be with everybody, you watch it because people are going to be talking about it. Waves was terrific, man. Like I said, you know, earlier this year, it's just one of those, some of my favorite movies, like when I started to really be invested in these films, excuse me, was like it started with a movie like The Ice Storm, Happiness, American Beauty, family dynamics, and like beneath the veneer of like these like freshly clipped lawns and all this suburbia,
man.
The undertow, the underbelly of what's really going on behind those doors always fascinates me.
And the way the dad Like, it's not the dad's fault what happened.
No.
But he plays a part in it because the way you're treating your son was just you pushed him so hard that something like that shoulder injury, he just wouldn't like even like accept that that was a thing, and he just tried to power through it, and it's just like boom, boom, but one thing, it's like all connected, one thing after another.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a family who is like very wealthy and has like, you know,
means, yeah,
a seemingly great life, but obviously like these things don't necessarily make you happy. They're just things. It's just, it's hard to find that. I mean, I know like when I see people that have success are like struggling, it fucking bums me out because I'm like, why are you unhappy? You have everything.
Yeah.
Like, obviously that's not the way it works. But like when you see someone who's so successful, you're like, oh fuck. Like what chance do I have if you're not even happy?
Everybody's got their shit. My only thing with that movie, I did not care for the ending. I felt like we didn't need to see, spoiler alert, we didn't need to see him again anymore. I think it should have just ended.
What was that? I remember her on the bike.
Well, the bike was perfect, but like them tying it up towards the end.
That they went back. Well, you kind of got to go back to him.
I don't think so.
No, man. I agree with the director. We have to go back to him. She's like going to go visit him. Isn't that the ending?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like that's a thing, man. It's like, she can't ignore, it's almost like the boyfriend gets her even to like what he's going through. He kind of forgives his dad, kind of pushes her that like she
pushes
can't.
Her to forgive. That's
this
true.
This is what's so good about it too. It's like the life is full of gray areas. It's not so black and white. So like her brother did this awful thing, but it also was like, he was like kind of on drugs and he fucked up. And he's still her brother. Just like this guy is still his dad. Like at first he's like, nah, I'm not going to see, why would I go see him? But of course he goes to see him and it was really beautiful, like sad moment where he kind of like, his dad basically like dies. He makes up with his son. So for her, it's like, she's always going to be his brother. Like she's going to have some sort of relationship with him. Even though he did this awful thing.
I got to look at that ending again. Cause it was something about it that I didn't like. Not that
like
it was
the Rat and the Departed.
No, it wasn't like fuck this movie, but it was just like, it wasn't to that level. It was just like, all right. I don't know.
That was the number one for me. King of Staten Island was really good. This movie I like that I told you about, this little, and I think it's kind of doing well. This movie Relic, I thought was very interesting.
Okay. What's that about?
It's like a horror movie. I don't want to spoil too much because it came out, but it's almost like a movie like Mother or The Babadook, where it's very, very, very heavy with the symbolism. Like what's going on is like, it's pretty easy to see. I think Babadook was a little like shaded a little, more so, whereas this it's clearly about dementia because it's dealing with an older lady. It's this mom and daughter, Emily Mortimer.
I love her.
The mom is, yeah, she's great. And they go visit their mom, grandma, mother, and she's kind of going crazy. And she's in this like weird house, and it's just kind of about like, again, I don't want to say too much because it just came out on like Waves, which came out like over a year ago. But I thought it worked on me. I thought it was really good.
Just say this.
What they were trying to do.
Tell the listeners this. Is it worth putting the money down on VOD or do we or do we
really
wait? So don't wait for stream. We can.
Well, there hasn't been that much stuff that I've really enjoyed movie wise right now that I think this was like when it was done, I was like, wow, I really like that. I really like what the director and the filmmaker was trying to say. And I think it really worked. And it's basically, about dementia. Kind of like the inevitable, like kind of family stuff. And it worked. And a movie like the Kevin Bacon House movie, I felt like did not work. And
I like how you just say the Kevin Bacon House movie.
It was kind of a similar
idea. You should have left.
Okay, here's this weird house and weird stuff's going to happen. But that was more like shit's like in your face. And I don't really feel like there was too much to it. And it just kind of was like a waste of time. Whereas this is kind of like, I could see someone not liking Relic and being like, that was stupid. but they're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
They're kind of like what they're trying to say. And they're like, I felt like the same way with Mother. Like, if you've been like Mother, it's okay, it's fine, but you're taking it too literally. You're like upset that she like threw a baby or burnt the baby or whatever happened, when it's like, no, it's really about like Mother Earth and like fucking abuse it. And you can't, like, you got to kind of see it for what it is. And then if you still don't like it, that's fine. So a movie like Relic is kind of more like that, where the Kevin Bacon house movie is just like, okay, everybody, here's, look, gather around. We're going to explain what this movie's about. Right? Like, that's not always the best movies, where at the end they're like, okay, look, here's what happened. I did this and this. And like, it's just like, it was kind of a piece of shit movie. It kind of was bad. It was really bad.
Wasn't that a Blumhouse?
It was Blumhouse, but they could have misfires. They have so many hits.
No, I'm just saying, like, well, shit, dude. I mean, Fantasy Island was not the best.
It kind of looked fun, and I never saw it.
It did look fun, and I went to see it.
Truth or Dare was like terrible, but it also was kind of fun.
Is that the same girl with my girl
Lucy Hale?
Lucy Hale, yeah, I love her.
So bad though. But that's the thing, like, you can, it's like bands or whatever. It's like you can like stuff. It's just like, if you, unless you like, the problem is if you think it's like high art and like really like good, like piece of work. It's like kind of like, some stuff is like, I like the Duplass quote where it's like, and I kind of trying to figure that, like, not everything you do has to be the best thing ever. You can just do stuff that you like, that it's good. And I'm putting this out there, I like this. It's like, not everything has to be the best thing. It's like, there's stuff can just be good and you like it. Like, not everything has to be like, we're all too critical. I mean, I'm shitting on the Kevin Bacon house movie, but everyone will be fine there. They're all big stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all big stars. Blumhouse is fine. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's just like, for me, it's just like, damn, I put this money down and it's like, wow.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't, because you kind of steered me away from it.
So
like,
bad.
I was gonna, because I like Amanda Seyfried, you know.
I mean, who doesn't? She's amazing.
Yeah, but it was just like, okay, well, Jeff, you know, all right.
You got to understand: the inside of the house is different dimensions from the outside of the house.
That's what I heard. Yeah, yeah. So I do have Waves on mute, and I'm looking at the last few minutes. Her on the bike is perfect.
It's great.
That's,
now you got to refresh me. I'm not remembering exactly what you're talking about, but I do know they go back to him, which I thought was appropriate.
When they went back, it just seemed like the end of a CW thing. Let me see.
That's the worst thing. I mean, that's literally the worst thing you can say, I think.
Someone
who's like
a montage,
or even doc work, it's just a documentary, and someone says, oh, this feels like a Discovery Channel, like, you know, reenactment or whatever. I think that's like the worst thing someone can say about your documentary. Because there's a way you have to do stuff. Like, one of the things I enjoyed was the I'll Be Gone in the Dark, about the Golden State Killer.
Is that good? Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. And they do the reenactments well. And it's just like, there's a big difference between like, the Jinx or the Errol Morris one, I forget the name right now, about the guy who felt like they killed his dad. That one was really good. Like, the reenactments are like, they're really tight. The Imposter is another good one. Like, the reenactments are done really well. Whereas the Discovery Channel piece, it's like, it's really just sloppy, just put together shit. Mm-hmm. And it's got the voiceovers. So, you know, you want to stay away from that.
I take it back.
But I'll Be Under the Dark is good. Okay, what do you take back?
I take it back. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. This is bad. I think, what was it? Just like her pitch, like, what was it exactly?
I just didn't want, so they show him in jail. They show him in his, They show him in his cell.
Isn't he writing? Or is he eating? Oh, he's eating lunch.
He's eating lunch or dinner. He's eating by himself. And then they show him in a cell looking at his picture of his girlfriend.
Yeah, dude. What's wrong with that?
I was just wondering. I was like, I don't need to see that motherfucker again.
Yeah, but you know, that's part of the problem. That's, look at that, man. That's like the family. You can't disassociate with, he's your son, your brother.
Yeah.
Like, he exists and he did this terrible thing. And it's so sad that he has to spend probably the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah.
Because of this thing. I mean, look, he killed her, and the family, like, what about their daughter? I mean, it's terrible. Yeah.
And they show the parents. Daughter. Yep.
Yeah. They don't have their daughter. It sucks all the way around. Like, it's just like, you know, at the same time, if someone killed someone I loved, I wouldn't be like, yeah, but, you know, what were they going through? Like, it's just, that's not the way the world works. And I think that's part of the justice system where people get so mad. You have these kids that get off when the judge really looks at the benefit of the doubt. It's like, well, you don't want to put them away for the rest of their life. They did this one stupid thing. Whereas, like, you know, someone else, they're going to come down on so hard, and they're not going to. It's just like, it's like the rich kid, the affluenza teen. It
the
was like,
mom
well,
is.
You know, he killed people, and the judge is like, well, you know, he was rich, and he didn't know. And he's like, what the fuck are we doing here?
The no, mom
there has to
goes
be consequences.
Back. Yeah, yeah.
There no, has you're to be right. consequences
you're,
for your actions.
You're right. No, the mom goes back. Maybe she's the only one that really has
well,
been.
Well, the mom
this.
Had a better relationship with the kid.
And that was his stepmother. Really? That was his stepmother.
And it was his stepmom. Yeah.
And they
yeah,
really
yeah.
didn't say that much about that. I kind of like that shit, too. I like that, how it was just like, that's their stepmother. And that's yeah. what it is. That it is what it is. It's like almost it's, like in medias res. Like, it's not like everything's not explained. And
it's
like
brutal,
it's just
watch.
Yeah.
It's brutal. It's a hard watch, man. It's not an easy watch. It's just hard to see this family deteriorate like this. But it's very good. It's a very, very good film. And that's the best thing I saw this break. I'll
yeah.
say that 100 times during this podcast.
I think this dude, I'm in love with in a man way. No, I mean, that's still a man way if you're gay.
The main actor?
Kelvin Harrison Jr., I think he's fantastic.
Great.
Like,
he's gonna be a huge star.
So the high note, also one of the highlights, one of my favorite movies of this year, it's really supposed to be like a Tracy, it's a Dakota, what's her name? Dakota Johnson vehicle.
Dakota Johnson, I love her, man. And she was in, you know what she was really great in? Fuck, what was that movie? It was an okay movie.
Peanut Butter Falcon? Well, she wasn't in it that much.
No. I'll play in a second.
Don't
forget
say
the name.
50
it was
shows.
By hold on 1 second. This is great podcasting.
That's all right.
No, it was Bad Times at the El Royale. She
that was a good movie.
Great, man. It yeah. was Drew Goddard who did Cabin in the Woods, which, you know, everybody loved. That was fantastic. But Bad Times at the El Royale was fine. The film was fine. It was kind of long for what it was. But she was really fucking good in that. I really like, I seen her in a few things and thought she was fine. And then in that, she really did it for me. I was like,
who
she's
did she
really
play?
Good in this.
Refresh my memory. Who'd she play
she
in
She was
that?
Like the badass. She was like the girl, you know, like anyone else, just trying to get the money in that. And, you know, it didn't end well for her, so.
Okay. It was really good. It's really good. No, I remember liking the movie.
Yeah, it's
just
fun.
Been a
it's
minute.
A little long. It's 2.5 hours. Like, it's not.
It's a little too long.
This is the thing with movies. And I've noticed a few movies I've seen recently have been like 89 minutes, 87 minutes. And I'm like, I kind of like this. I like, getting to it. But that movie was 2.5 hours. It is. It's just not. It's not worth it. It's just not. It doesn't need to be 2.5 hours. Like, if that movie's 2 hours, I probably feel completely different about it. And then there's movies that I really like that I felt that way. I remember. The foreign movie Burning, the Korean
yeah,
movie.
That was good.
That movie was great, but it was 2.5 hours. Like, it just doesn't need to be 2.5 hours. That movie was awesome.
Yeah.
But that's the thing when it comes to like recommending it. Someone's like, should I watch it? It's like, yeah, you should. But it's also like, it's too long. I don't know.
I believe you recommended that to me. For,
it's good.
Yeah,
really
it
good.
Is. It is very good. Dude, like, this girl Taylor Russell is
that's speaking of your boy Jenkins. I remember me and him got in deep with like Korean movies. He really loves Korean movies.
Oh wow.
And we were like, and I recommend, I'm like, you gotta see Burning, and then he liked it.
Yeah.
He recommended Handmaiden, which I still haven't seen, which is like the big pre-Parasite like Korean movie, like, oh, you gotta see this.
Before
Handmaiden, I didn't watch it yet.
We were talking about this kid, Kelvin Harrison Jr. And so I was saying when yeah, so the high note was really supposed to be, technically, it's a Dakota Johnson vehicle disguised as a Tracy Ellis Ross vehicle, but Kelvin okay. Harrison Jr. steals it from both of them. And this motherfucker can sing, too. It's just like, fuck you, dude. You know? Hopefully I can play his brother and his shitty brother in a movie or something. Maybe his dad. I don't know. I'm too young. I could play his brother or his uncle. But anyway, He's great, and that movie was good too. Like that's one of those movies that's like, this is fun. For some reason, it's on Focus Features, but which is kind of interesting. It's not a bad thing, but it's just like, oh, Focus Features is supposed to be like some movie that takes place in Milan, and there's a priest that has a troubled history or some shit. I don't know. In wine country. But, you know, the High Note I thought was very, very good for what it is. It's just it's a great crowd pleaser. What else?
Check it out. I didn't see it.
I'm getting it on. It's coming to my house this week. I got it on Blu-ray.
You like to own it.
Yeah. Because it was just so, it was just refreshing. It's like one of those movies where, oh, I want to watch this. I want to watch this, be able to watch this whenever I want. So I recommend.
You want the freedom.
Yeah. What else have you liked?
That show I said, I May Destroy You is good. It's 6 episodes. Really interesting about the Golden State Killer.
Who
is
no,
really,
I May like, Destroy. I May Destroy You
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah,
I May Destroy You is great. I mixed up the titles. Yeah, I'll Be Gone in the Dark is about the Golden State Killer.
Yeah,
and, Michelle McNamara, who was Pat Oswalt's wife, who passed away, who was just obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And it does a good. Liz Garbus is a director who's a very talented documentary filmmaker, and okay. She did this one. I don't know if you saw it recently, called "Who Killed Garrett Phillips."
No.
That she's done a bunch of documentaries, but that was a good one about it really shows more so like on a small scale, like kind of like the racism, the systemic racism with the cops. And it takes place in Buffalo of this. He's like the only black guy in Buffalo. And they think he killed a girl and a kid, excuse me, killed a little kid. And he goes to trial based on basically no evidence. Hmm. And he would have like he did it like. I don't want to say anything, but
okay. How should I? Really how'd you see? Is this an on demand VOD?
I think it was on HBO. It was a 2-part, and again, it's just like this guy. It goes to trial, and they have no evidence. Like this is the thing: you cannot put people on trial for like just like well, we think he could have done it.
Okay,
you know. It's plausible he did it. Like you're talking about people's lives here. Like yeah. You can't just like. Fucking do that to people. So that was good. She did that. She did a bunch of other things. But that
it
was
is
the
on
last
HBO.
Thing I saw by her.
Okay, yeah. It's on HBO.
So this doc does a really good job of getting into Michelle's life and the victims of the killer, like their family and some of the victims who he didn't kill that he kind of tortured and some of the rape victims. And it's really well done and it's really interesting. Just that the way she was able to thread the needle between both of those. But the thing I just said, the wrong title, I have really been enjoying that show. I May Destroy You.
It is very good. It's not always an easy watch. When I saw episode 4, I was like, what the fuck? It's intense. It's a very good series, though.
It's great. I've been really enjoying it. It's good, man. And again, it's like it's getting into like the gray areas of life. Mm-hmm. Like this person who was a victim of sexual assault, and then she kind of has a friend who did something that's like, are you up to date on it?
I finished it.
Oh, well, it's not done yet.
I finished it.
There's 12 episodes. There are 10 have aired, I think.
Like I said, Jeff, I finished it. We'll talk about it off mic.
Oh, you got a screener or something?
Let's just say I was looking for a recap for an episode on YouTube and I found some other stuff.
Oh, you were on the dark web.
And it wasn't even dark web. It was just like, oh, I want to do a recap. I was like, oh,
it got leaked.
I guess so. Because it's, you know, it's out on BBC and
oh my God. Then definitely. Yeah. If it's already aired somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like I remember I saw Black Mirror. I pirated it because it wasn't in America yet. And it was like, that's how I was like one of the first people to watch it because I read like a Grantland piece on it and I was like, dude, this sounds amazing. And in the story, they're like, look, we're not going to tell you how to watch this, but there's ways. And I was so intrigued by it. It was so up my alley that I pirated it. And so I was like recommending that show like a year.
You were the first person to say anything about it.
yeah, I was like, this show's incredible. And it, and now it kind of gets shit on. They've done it so many, and people are like kind of bitches about it, where they're like, man, we used to be so much better. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of true. But there's also like some still like good episodes every, like, I feel like,
what's
like,
your favorite era,
if they put out like four episodes and like two are good, like, what are you bitching about? Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, it just gave you 2 hours of television. That's awesome. Like, there's so many good ones. I love them. Did we ever do a Black Mirror podcast?
I did one with,
Not you.
No. Well, dude, you've been on so many times. You're my unofficial official co-host. I think I had one of my favorite rappers, Fonte from Little Brother and the Foreign Exchange. We did one a couple years ago. I think maybe Hang the DJ and San Junipero. I liked
San Junipero. That's like a real favorite because it's kind of a little different.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many good ones. I even love the first one about pig fucking. I think that's so interesting. The idea of like,
yeah,
a take on like how we view things. Like that became like an event of like, oh my god, the prime minister is gonna fuck a pig. Like it just was like, it kind of blew my mind that way of like, yeah, this is like social media. Like we get so into the worst shit. And
yeah,
like, you watching it? Where you watching it? Oh, I'm watching it at this bar, and it's just like people would watch that. Now, obviously, the president cannot have sex with an animal. Like you just can't. You can't do it.
Right.
But the premise was so, I was like, what is this show? And then the second episode with the bikes, the 50 million merits, obviously that guy has gone on to do like, he's a huge star now.
Oh yeah.
What's his name? Daniel,
Kaluuya.
Yeah. And he was in like, Get Out and, Widows, and he's going to be in the, he's playing Frank Hampton.
Fred Hampton.
Fred, yeah. Fred.
And the Lucas brothers are co-wrote the script. Screenplay.
Oh, they co-wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think they got story by, but they were instrumental. Okay. I think there's like some, anyway, they're involved with that film. So
that's going to be a big movie.
That shit looks insane.
It looks great. It looks like really fucking.
Yeah.
Like explosive, really fucking good. So really important.
If Daniel Kaluuya can play these American guys, I want to go over to the UK and play a detective. I want to do that. That's like one. That's one of the dreams. I want to play like a troubled detective over there.
Oh yeah.
Just get a dialect coach to keep my shit tight, and like if we booked, get the part. And stay there for like a half a year or six, you know, beforehand or whatever. Just immerse myself in that culture. Shit, man. What? Game over, dude. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about I May Destroy You. And yeah, it was really, you finished it. I didn't. Really, really interesting show. I was saying the gray areas of like her friend,
yeah,
doing something that she's like, how could you do that? And then it's like, you know, she did some fucked up shit that she didn't realize,
right,
to him. And yeah, it's really interesting. And that girl's Michelle Cola, is that her name?
Michelle Cola, yeah. Shit.
I'm very bad with names.
Michaela. Michaela Cole. You been having me fuck it up. Damn.
I'm terrible with names.
Michaela Cole.
She's great. She's fantastic. And she's kind of like, obviously, like, you know, kind of like similar to Fleabag, like she's going to get that like recognition.
Mm-hmm.
This is her show, and I know she had the Chewing Gum and some shows before that. And
yeah,
she's going to get the recognition with this show. Yeah. I mean, she is now, but more so, she'll win awards and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what. Let's. What about? I did not get to see, I used to go here because because I worked late, last night, and I was like, I'm not gonna be able to watch this. So that might be my Friday movie that I see and just be like,
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. That's the, you know, movie with Julian Jacobs where she's kind of like stuck and she doesn't know what to do with her life, and she goes back to where she went to college, and she's sleeping at her old kind of, I guess, house where she used to live. And it's fine, it's fun.
Like, because it seems like right up my alley, like the perfect movie.
Yeah, you will like it.
A white woman goes back to her old stomping grounds and tries to get her shit together. And probably like fuck some young guy and find out more about herself. I can't wait. Have myself a nice, either if not an adult beverage, I'll have a nice ginger ale. Okay, let's talk about this, dude. Let's see. Last week we were excited about She Dies Tomorrow.
Yes.
And we both watched it and I watched it and I was just like, some of this stuff, like, I didn't get it. And it was like, for me, I owe that movie more of my attention because I watched a review or like that movie, you know how to say She Dies Tomorrow explained. And I started watching it. I was like, I need to see this movie again.
Did you watch it again?
No, because you know what it was? I can't watch movies on Fridays anymore. If I've worked all day, I can't do it, dude, because I'll fucking fall asleep. I'll miss something. I kept rewinding it. Basically, at the top of the movie, I did not know that that dude was her boyfriend. I didn't know that shit.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was out of it, dude. And I just think I just kind of... I did not get anything that the movie was trying to do. And it was my fault. It was my fault. And when I found out all that other shit about the movie, there were certain moments that
Well, I don't want to like the first scene. You weren't clear that that was her boyfriend?
Nope. Because I was watching it. I was watching the shit.
That's where she got it. That's where she got the thing.
I know. Because I was watching the shit at like 9:30. I had worked all day. I was up at like 4:30. And I should have just waited and watched it on Saturday morning. So like anything that I texted you or said to you about this movie, you got to disregard that. But the first 20 minutes was kind of weird. Like I said, once they started talking, it got better. But overall, I just did not. This is all me, dude. So I spent like $8 or $9. I didn't get it because I was like not invested at all. It was my fault.
Yeah, I love the premise. It's a really interesting movie. I love the premise.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the trailer and I was like, oh my God, I got to watch this the second I can.
Because I sent it to you.
Yeah, you sent it to me and I was like, oh my God, this looks incredible.
Yeah.
I never even heard of it. I didn't know. I was fine with it. Like, I didn't like it as much as I wanted to because it's like you're saying, it's a short movie. It's like an 85-minute movie. And the first 20 minutes are like... kind of takes a while to go and you're like, man, this is 20 minutes. This is like a big chunk of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get going. But the premise, I mean, the film's obviously about like anxiety and like panic attacks and how anxiety can be contagious and whatnot. And just such a good premise. But I overall, I thought it was fine. Like I wanted to like it more than I did, but it's like, I did like it because I tend to like movies like that more that take chances and do something interesting. But it didn't necessarily work as a whole for me, but it's definitely very interesting.
Yeah, because Amy Simons, I like her, and I apologize to her. That's my fucking fault. I was like, shit's like pretentious, man. What the fuck? My tired ass. I was like, I can't do it anymore, man. If it's a movie that's kind of straightforward, like I'm assuming that, you know, I used to go here would be, and that's not to slight that film. But it's just like the narrative
that's
is
the thing where I'll give that film less credit because that's more by the book where it's mm-hmm. like, okay, whatever. Whereas She Dies Tomorrow is so interesting that even if I didn't like it as much as I wish I did, it's still like I'll give it all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
For trying something like different and coming up with kind of a unique premise and kind of like I mean, even like the style of the film, it's just like I just wanted a little more out of it, but and time will tell. Like if I watch it again, like I can flip on movies and like appreciate it more. I just found myself thinking about it. Like there's movies you want. Like I'll never really think about. I used to go here ever again. Like, it's fine. It's fine. But a movie like She Does Tomorrow, yeah, it stayed with me for a few days after, while I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about the ending, and I was like, ah, you know, I mean, I didn't love it, but I really like that. I really like that. So,
yeah.
I think it's definitely, like, worth checking out if you haven't seen it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, because I, like, I'm going to have to give it another shot, because it was me. Because after I was like, what the fuck? I watched. Right after we talked about doing this episode, I was like, let me just look at this YouTube clip. It was like 8 minutes. I was like, what the what? So, you know, so that's like one of the.
So they just explained it, huh?
Yeah, there were certain things, you know, that, and it's
about
one,
anxiety, right?
Yeah, and it's one person's, yeah, it's one person's opinion, it's about it, but.
But he was saying, or she was saying, it's about anxiety, right?
Yeah, but like, yeah, and like, yeah, the plot stuff was just like, oh, okay, all right, that makes sense. I get it. You know,
yeah, the people who like it are going to love it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in the middle about it. It's just like, you know, to me, it was clear as anxiety. And like, you can make someone, like, if you're not nervous about something, and then I talk to you, and I make you extremely nervous, yeah, about something, and now you're freaking out about it. It's like, I see how like anxiety and these things are contagious.
Mm-hmm.
That we're kind of going from one person to the next.
And she's definitely commenting on society.
Yeah.
And social media in a lot of ways too. I really dug what that idea, like that you said, the premise definitely makes sense and it's interesting. And I was just trying to think of, like, you know, what have I seen, like, art house wise, that's really compelled me since Columbus. Now, that's Columbus is a movie that I loved.
Oh my God, your favorite.
And I can't think of any, you know, like, I have to put Waves up there. You know, I have to put Waves up there with Columbus. I mean, now Columbus was really art house, and that could be seen as pretentious because it's really like about architecture and then these people like around it, you know, that gives the movie a heartbeat and everything like that. So, like, this guy making these like meticulous shots and all this stuff, and then he puts, you know, these fully realized characters around it. But yeah,
what is that guy up to now? The director?
He's doing something. Somebody tweeted me, my buddy Tim Hall, the People's Critic. You know, he's a film critic out of Seattle. He's doing something. Coconut is doing something with somebody, and it's been a while.
He's kind of a little mysterious, right?
He is a little bit, yeah. But there was a blurb about him doing something. I was trying to look it up and see what the next thing he's doing. Let me.
Yeah, Columbus is excellent. That was a really good movie.
Oh, you really did like it? Okay, cool.
I liked it. Yeah, not as much as you. That's possible, but I did like it.
That is true. Yeah.
But I know that was all him, Coconata.
Yeah.
That was all, he wrote it and directed it. And that was like, you know, like that's like his baby. It's like it was like he had his hands on everything there.
Okay, this is
okay. I think he edited it too.
He did everything. He's doing a film called After Yang. The film follows a father and daughter as they try to save the life of their robotic family member.
It'd be great.
Colin Farrell, Jodie Turner-Smith, Justin Min. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I'm there front and center whenever this shit comes out.
Yeah.
Ah, Haley Lou. You know I'm seeing this shit. Haley Lou Richardson's in it. She's supposed to be in some new movie that's coming out. They dropped a trailer.
About abortion. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it's about?
Yeah, she wants to get an abortion. It's a comedy, though. It's like the kids' version of what's that, the abortion movie that just came out, like Never Tomorrow. What was the one that just came out?
I saw that.
Never, Rarely.
Sometimes, Always.
Never, Rarely, Something, Always. Yeah, it's like the kids' version of that.
That shit was heavy.
Yeah.
You saw it?
No, I just know what it is. I didn't see it yet.
Surprisingly, that was a $20 movie that I rented, and both my parents watched that on Amazon.
Okay.
And they liked it, which is like they both, they're in their late 70s, and they were like, oh, it was good. And my mom even watched it.
Well, what's their take usually? Are you surprised they like it? I mean, I don't know what your parents like.
I mean, my mom is concerned. My dad will watch anything. My mom is a little more.
Mine too. My dad will literally watch anything.
Yeah, my mom is kind of conservative. And I thought with like the subject matter, you know, with abortion, you know, she just said, you know, I was just kind of worried about him. You know, like on the bus and shit. Like, you just think about that shit. Like, there's nowhere for them to, I don't know. It's that movie's, it's like one of those slice of life type movies. This, the woman who directed this film called Beach Rats, which is, I call it like White Moonlight, but it is. Let me get the 2017 film. They probably were filming at the same time. This woman is Eliza Hittman. And it's good. And it's like you care for the characters. There was one moment in the film where it was just like, no, please don't. Oh, fuck. You know, like where you're just like invested in a certain, and it wasn't even a main character. It was just like, fuck this, man. Come on. You know, when you talk at the screen, I am black, but I mean, but when you talk at the, when you're by yourself at home and you're just like, fuck, man, come on. You're just like, you don't want certain shit to happen, you know. She's got this quality, and I think maybe because she doesn't have, there aren't any real stars yet, so it's easy for you to just like really just be locked in to what's going on. And I could say that for both films, you know. I'm glad you mentioned that movie, because that was another one that was like, this isn't fun. It's a good film, you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about like some art house shit that's just like, ooh, fuck, you know, like you're watching it and you're just like, okay, you know, they're telling a story, and when you can get there and just make this stuff like powerful just through dialogue, like the probably one of the most, I wouldn't say the most, so in both movies, she's got that where it's just like, oh fuck, don't fucking do this. What are you fucking, come on. Are you serious? Please don't do this. You're saying, yeah, now that you mentioned that, now that you have me talking about this one, it's sort of like, there were moments like that in both her films that I've seen. And that wasn't the most powerful scene in this one, and Never Rarely. It's just a scene where she's being asked questions by a healthcare practitioner. And that's how you learn a lot of things about her character. And you're just like, and then when you see her at the beginning of the film with her family, and you see why she does what she does, and she behaves just like we talk about, like, and just like waves. Why is this kid the way he is? Why can't the parents? Now, these are parents with means as opposed to working class people in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The two leads work at a grocery store, you know, and they're in high school. And the opening part of the film is just like, damn, you make me want to see this fucking movie again. Shit, man. But like, that's another good one, you know, like that's another really good one. Not necessarily an easy watch, but a very good film, you know. And sometimes you just have to be in the mood for that, or just know what you're getting into, you know. So that's a good one. I'm glad you made me think of that one.
Yeah, that's on my list. I didn't bring it up. I haven't seen it, so I didn't bring it up in that way. But I do want to see that. You know, there's always like, oh, shit. Like, it just starts to feel like homework after a while. Like, what's in your Netflix queue? What's in your Amazon queue? What's in your Hulu? It's just like, there's a bunch of shit that I want to get to that I just haven't yet. I've been wanting to watch that show, Debs, for a while.
That is good.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, that's
Alex Garland. Yeah.
I liked it. That's Alex Garland. Like, you know, if you liked his shit, you know, like if you liked Ex Machina and what's the other movie that
Annihilation.
Annihilation. You'll definitely be into it. Like, it's an interesting flick. I mean, show. It's an interesting series. Yeah. I don't know how I felt about the ending. But again, like, he kind of makes those... I call Alex Garland, he makes these Icarus movies, these Icarus projects where it's like, you think you're so smart, you're flying too close to the sun and you're going to get fucking burned.
Yeah.
That just seems to be the theme to all of his shit, where it's just like, and he just does it. It's not bad. It's like a variation of a theme that I enjoy watching. But I think that's what his gift is. You know what I mean? And yeah, is it about other things? Probably. But that's just what I notice when I watch his stuff, you know? Something I think about. And obviously you could see it in Annihilation. Maybe you don't see it as much. You might see it in a movie like Sunshine. Or which I need to see again. I haven't seen that in a long time. Or
I remember that.
Definitely Ex Machina.
Sunshine was in like the HD Blu-ray phase.
HD Blu-ray phase.
That was like when it was becoming a thing, like Blu-ray and HD DVD. That was like the big Sunshine coming to like, that was like in that era.
That was
like,
07.
I rented that on HD DVD. Sunshine, that... like, oh, you got to see it on HD DVD, which did not last.
Fun fact, that was the last movie. I think that may have been the last movie I saw before I left Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite theaters of all time in Evanston, where they would have...
Evanston, yeah.
They would have, like, Evanston, Illinois, a home of Northwestern. And they used to... I'm sure it's still there, but it was a theater that had... your art house movie. So, okay, I'll give you an example. So they played the art house movies in one section and then the mainstream movies in another. And in one day, I believe that I saw The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Broken Flowers in the
Broken
same day.
Broken Flowers, yes. Yeah.
So that's an example of how...
Yeah.
So that's how dope that theater was. You know what I mean? Like I remember going to see Junebug there, because Chicago was like, that was my first time being in a, DC is a major city, but just being old enough to say, oh, I want to see this movie. I'll go see it in the city. I'll go see it downtown. But like Evanston, like you had both. You could see, you know, both like your mainstream flicks and your art house. And it was a cool spot.
That's a good day, man.
It's a really good day. Yeah, for a nerd. Yeah. Yeah, so I got to get back into that. And I've kind of been going back to old, not old, old films, but I rewatched Swingers.
Yes.
I hadn't seen that in a long time.
Does it hold up, or is the goofiness, like, does it work still?
I think it's still great. Like, I mean, I was talking about this on my... on the episode that's up currently, episode, what is it, 442, I was thinking like Heather Graham. I was talking about this movie called The Rest of Us. That's on, not The Last of Us, but The Rest of Us, which is a film that's on Hulu right now. It came out about a year ago. It was the 2019 film, and about a woman who Heather Graham plays. She takes in the... Her ex-husband dies suddenly, and she takes in his wife and his kid to live with her and her teenage daughter. And things ensue. But when I was talking about Heather Graham, I was like, her character in Swingers, the girl, that's like a dream woman. That's like a dream woman, cool chick. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the point of that character?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But like she wasn't like she wasn't a manic pixie dream girl.
No, but it was kind of before they were really doing that in.
Yeah, it was 97
film. Yeah. Yeah, and like, but she's like cool that she like kind of makes fun of him at the end with the card. And
yeah,
she gets the reference. And yeah. And then she calls him, which is like, you know, oh, you're supposed to wait. And then she just kind of like bucks the trend and is like, I know I'm not supposed to call. Like she was like, yeah, she's like what you want.
Yeah. Swingers was 96. But yeah, like she was and she like had her own shit. Like it was like you didn't get to know that much about her, but you just knew that that was the right girl for him. You know what I mean? Like that was like like that was and I've. And on my, I talked about this before, but on my album EP, whatever the fuck, on Failed Running Back, the chunk about a girl was she was like that. That was like one of the closest that I've gotten. There's two actually been two women. There's a couple, but that was one that was like, okay, this girl is fucking dope. But then it didn't work out. Not because I didn't want it to, but it was. She made the call. But that was that. She was that girl that was like cool, a cool fucking chick. And I always remember Heather Graham for that. I don't know why.
The only other thing that I really liked is Palm Springs that I saw. I thought that was like delightful.
Palm Springs was good. Okay.
It was fun.
I thought my girl, Kristen Milioti, was a piece of shit.
In the movie, you didn't like her? You thought she was too negative?
In the movie, she was a piece of shit.
She was dealing with some shit. She was dealing with some shit, bro.
Can we? I reviewed it already. Can we spoil it?
Yeah, she was being like, kind of like, I don't know, like evasive, and then he wasn't upfront with her. And like, wouldn't you be pissed if like you got brought into that?
I'm talking about what she did, dude. She slept with her.
Oh yeah, that too. And also, they left the guy, J.K. Simmons. They never got him.
But he figured it out though.
Did he?
Yeah, because there's a scene at the end where he's like, oh, like I think it might be like a post credit thing. It's not like
post credit.
Yeah, but there's a scene where he comes back, and then he like Andy Samberg's not there, and he's like, oh, he realizes that what's going on, and then that's like his out.
Oh, I didn't know there's a post-credit scene. Okay.
Yeah, there's some. Just rewatch it again and
I'll rewatch it.
Yeah, and see because like there's a part where he, you know, kind of figures stuff out. But yeah, I was like, wow, she is horrible. Like I did not like her. Now I like. Do I like?
Well, she's doing a shitty thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? You're horrible. I was like, ugh, I did not like that, Jeff. But I liked it, but that's an interesting thing. Like that's really dark and you don't really see that with female characters, you know, on the regular, like being a piece of shit like that.
Like well,
when I found out what she did, I was like,
you were out on her.
Yes. And you know how adorable she is? The actress? Like she's adorable. And I was like, ooh. Ooh.
Look, she was a flawed character. She fucked up, but he also fucked up. He didn't tell her that he slept with her. It's a whole thing. But the movie's it's like more fun than it should be.
Mm-hmm. It is like, good. It's good.
Because we've seen this a few times recently now, like Happy Death Day, and like we've seen the like every day over and over again.
I like how you went to Happy Death Day before Groundhog Day.
Well, Groundhog Day is the famous one.
I know,
one,
obviously. That's
20 years ago, even 30 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's been done a few times recently. Happy Death Day is the one that I think of.
Or Before I Fall is another one. That's a.
Which one was that?
That's with my girl.
Haley Lou?
Not Haley Lou, Zoe Deutsch. I tweeted.
They're very,
very
similar.
Very similar.
Are people talking about that?
Are people talking about just you. You brought that up, and you're not wrong.
Zoe Deutsch and...
Haley Lou.
And Haley Lou are very... They look very similar.
Yeah. That was another one where this girl, she died, but she keeps coming back to, and she has to figure out why she keeps dying and trying to figure it out. A lot darker. But it's interesting. Like, I liked her performance in that. I tweeted about that movie because that's one of those movies where it's like, oh, I'm entertained by this shit. This is one of those movies where, like, I saw it before a show, like at when I would be working at Levity.
Time to Kill.
Yeah, Time to Kill before a show, and I was like, oh, this girl's cute. I watch her movie.
Yeah,
and I saw it before a show, and I tweeted like, oh, Zoe Deutsch is the real deal, and she favored
it. Real deal.
Yeah, she favorited the tweet.
Did she?
Yeah, yeah. So.
That's big, man.
That's big, big, big things, man. That was like 5 years ago. When I don't remember how long
did
ago.
Did you tag her?
I feel like
you did.
I don't know if I did. I don't think I did.
Let's see.
She might have. You can check. You can check.
I'm trying to check. Well, you could look it up
on Twitter. I may have. I don't know. I don't know, man. Because I wasn't following her or anything.
Oh, you did tag her.
I did.
The Brewery Fall film is one of the best movies in theater. Add Zoe Deutsch is the real deal.
How did you? You just looked it up. You just looked Chris Lambert, Zoe. She
didn't like it.
She did, but she might have taken it off or something. Because I got the notification.
Brewery Fall film liked it.
No, she liked it too, dude. I have a screenshot.
It says Before I Fall film.
Yeah,
liked
now it does.
I don't know, man.
Is she still on Twitter?
Yeah, big time.
You hating like shit, man. Stop hating, man.
She's on every day tweeting a storm.
She tweets every day?
Yeah, let's see what she likes.
She made out with...
She likes some stuff on here.
She makes out with Jermaine Fowler in this movie called Buffaloed. She hooks up
with
him.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, I was like, fuck you, Jermaine.
Jermaine Fowler, fuck. Was that movie Buffalo good?
Solid. Solid flick.
She's great.
Yeah, she's dope. Sure, she was an asshole in Flower.
Yeah, Flower was good.
Yeah, good movie. But
I'm a big Tim Heidecker guy, so I kind of watch his stuff.
She was an asshole. Funny, really.
Jermaine Fowler, wow. So he's doing well, huh?
He's playing Eddie Murphy's kid in Coming to America Part 2.
He's the main star, right?
Yeah. Zombieland, she was funny as shit. I'm going to find that fucking screenshot, dude. I got to find
Coming
that shit.
Coming to America has a chance to be really good. The sequel?
Yeah. We'll see.
You made it already, right? It's coming out?
Yeah, it's probably just like in limbo because of, you know, everything. She did like it. I don't know where it's...
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't want
to... Fuck you, bro. No, she did. She did. Like, she may have, like, taken, like, off the like, but I wouldn't lie about that. She just...
No, I believe you, man.
If I can... Don't placate me. I can find
it. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not. Nobody really gives a shit, but...
It's fine. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, give it to me, man. Come on. That's all I got. That movie came out in 2017. Huh.
Yeah.
What's something else that you liked? Here it is. Oh, shit.
You found it?
Yep.
What do you mean? You have the photo?
I'm going to text it to you because I told you I screenshotted it.
She took it away then. I wonder why she took it away.
I don't know. Maybe she's like, I'll just take getting her likes down or some shit. I don't know. I have no clue. You can't tell that, like, but yeah, you can tell because it's like.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, it's her. All right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you did it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, you know, she did. You know, it's not that. I just said, oh, cool. I just shouted her out. It's not like I expected anything to happen. I was trying to think what else.
Yeah, I don't think anything else I really saw that I really liked that I've seen in the break.
I like this movie, St. Francis. I did talk about it on the pod before, but one, it's just like sentimental value. I guess maybe nostalgia just reminded me of Chicago because it took place in Chicago.
Yeah.
Movie about like, well, speaking of, well, after an abortion, a deadbeat nanny finds friendship with the 6-year-old she's hired to watch. It's just like a sweet movie. And there's hijinks that happen, but it's just like a solid indie film. And it was playing at Jacob Burns, or I think it was playing earlier this year at Jacob Burns, and then it got released. And I was like, oh, that was a movie that was looked interesting. And I rented it, and it was just like, all right, you know, it's just one of those movies that's solid, solid flick. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything else I saw that I really liked.
Yeah, I think you and I have either talked about whatever it was that I liked, and I'm not sure what.
I wish the Jon Stewart movie was a little better.
The one with Steve Carell?
Yeah, Irresistible. I wish that was better.
You paid 20 for it? 20 bucks?
Probably. I like Jon Stewart. Yeah. And it was fine. It was like almost like.
And I like Rose Byrne, too.
Exist. It's hard to do. Yeah, she's great. It's kind of hard to do a movie like that, like politically, and not have like a Trump like thing in it about like it was just kind of like small town and what he was trying to say was fine. His message was fine. It's kind of like both sides have failed these like people in the small town, which is true.
Yeah.
Which is what happens. And that's kind of even how you get Trump, because like these people are like, well, I've been voting Democrat that I do, so whatever. But it just felt I'd want more from Stewart because he's so good and he was so great and he's so opinionated and it was fun.
You didn't talk about it. So that's what, like, because I heard like it was just okay. So I didn't go after it. I was going to give it more of I will give it more of a chance when it's like normal price, like $5-6, you know. When it's like not 20 bucks, I guess they're trying to milk all that shit out of it. It takes maybe a couple months or so to actually, I guess, like put it out for normal rental, not like movie premiere rental. Well, all right. Is there anything other than Tenet that you're looking forward to? Or you probably don't really care about Tenet that much, do you?
No, I watch Tenet. I like Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Memento, bro.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it whenever it comes out. I think they need to.
I'm excited. I don't. What's coming out?
That's a good.
I'm excited for Coming to America. I think that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be great. Like,
I love Coming to America. I think that's going to be really fun.
I'm interested in seeing that, but like I just kind of been underwhelmed by the choices, like the times that I put money down on Google Play or Fios to rent something. It's just been kind of meh. But I think I will get some satisfaction out of I Used to Go Here.
Yeah, there should be more. There should be more right now. Of like things that are like, you know, we're excited about. Like sometimes I check the on demand and I'm like, not really anything. Like it's like I thought there'd be more in the summer, but
yeah.
You know, maybe just some stuff is just again, like it's getting delayed and they're trying to figure out what to do and they're not all just taking the King of Staten Island route. It's amazing how much Palm Springs got bought for.
How much did it get bought for?
It was bought for a lot of money at Sundance by Hulu.
Yeah, it's like a good little. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, those Lonely Island dudes. Adam Sandberg, Andy Sandberg is.
Well, now you got it. Now you.
I know. Him, I'm becoming my dad. He's good. You know, I like him. I like Hot Rod. You know.
Hot Rod was great, and also the tennis movie was great too.
That I did not see.
Really good. It was on HBO. It was like an hour or whatever. It was really funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. It's looking kind of bleak. Because it's going to get to the point where it's just going to be stuff that's not that good. And I'm looking at, I looked at my list on Netflix. There's some shit that I need to watch, like I need to check out. I think it just, part of me feels, I want to see that movie Tiger Tail that I haven't seen. The dude that did Master of None. I need to check that out.
That's supposed to be good.
Yeah. It's a couple things that look that I need to check out. So I just feel like it's the weekend. When it's the weekend, I need to just like, oh, I need to rent something new and fresh, you know, and I get excited about it. And it's just underwhelming. You know, when I could just all these other streaming services I got, I could just watch something for free. Not for free, but, you know, for something I'm already paying.
You're paying for it. So. Yeah,
right. So, you know, like that's kind of what I'm missing, you know. But that's the world that we're living in now. I guess this new movie, what's the pill movie? Power Pill with, what's the name of it, with Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Power, they take.
Oh my God, that looks ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, I like Jamie Foxx and I like all three of those actors. But it's just like, is this going to be underwhelming? Like, to me, some of the stuff, I don't know. Project Power. I call the Project, a movie, yeah, I call a movie like this, like a Flowers for Algernon movie. Like Limitless and, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, 100%,
Limitless.
Yeah, but I'll watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it. Yeah. So we'll see. Jeff, where can people find you on the social media feeds?
At Jeff Cerulli. You can find me.
And check out.
And come check out all my shit and check out the old NBA Cards episode with Chris Lambert, the host of this podcast.
Yeah, check them out. Check all of them out. But maybe I'm the
check
only.
Check it all out, man.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, Jeff, this has been a delight as always. Great. Man.
It's been like Palm Springs, the podcast. It's a delight.
Yeah, I'm glad you pulled out a good movie out of me. Never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Yeah.
Like a good.
Check it out.
A good fucking like heavy hitter that I forgot that I saw. That was fantastic, but didn't have it in my holster. All right. Thanks so much for doing this, Jeff, and thanks for listening, man. Everybody. We'll talk to you next time.